Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live for this last Monday of the year. 2019 fades into the past. It's been such a fantastic year. I'm sorry to see it go. What? Well, you guys act like I'm kidding. Well, all right. So it's been a mixed year. But all mixed years.
It's been a great year. Praise God for 2019.
It has indeed. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. We're going to do a bit of year in review the next 2 hours. We do this every year. And one of our last two shows of the year, we try to do a year in review of kind of, from a Catholic perspective. So I have invited, or Darren, the boss, has invited two of the smartest people in the building, two of the most aware, two of the wisest people in the building. They could not make it. Same joke I do every year. They could not make it. So we got Tim and Chris. Tim Ryland is the editor of Catholic Answers Magazine, the finest magazine on apologetics in print in the world. Hello, Tim.
Hi, Cy.
And also joining us is the president of Catholic Answers, Chris Check. Hello, Chris.
Hello, gentlemen. 30th anniversary issue of Catholic Answers magazine out this week.
That's right.
So 30 years you've been making that magazine,
years.
Tim.
Well, I haven't been making it.
Oh, you didn't do
14 of the 30.
Really?
I've been at the helm. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Has he gotten a gold watch yet? Or I guess that maybe that's when you send him out the door.
I had a split shift, so I had to start over again 8 years ago.
I think here at Catholic Answers, it's like a gift certificate to In-N-Out Burger.
He would like that.
I would.
Yeah. Depending on how big it is, if it's enough to get you a double-double.
And crispy fries.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You order them crispy.
You can
do that?
Oh, absolutely.
I didn't know about this.
For those who don't know about In-N-Out around the world, In-N-Out is the favorite hamburger joint of Californians. It's in the West. It's not in the East yet, but it is California's favorite. And they have little Christian sayings on their paperware.
The owner actually has a good sense of social justice. He pays his employees well.
Yeah, and you know what? Something else. You can kind of tell that he pays the employees well.
Because like they're jolly.
Because they're working and they're, I don't know, there's a certain elan there. You like the word elan?
A joie de vivre?
Right.
What is that?
I have
joy of life.
Oh, okay, yeah. All right, if you're going to start speaking Latin, man, you should tell us. No, that was Spanish, I know. Yeah, German?
Oh, you're funny. Francais.
All right, so
like Elan, you said Elan, and I went with the French theme.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. All right. Let me ask you this. We're going to start from the specific and move to the general a little bit here, and I want to personalize this to you. How was the year for Catholic Answers Magazine? Were you happy with what you got? Was there any highlights, lowlights? I mean,
I think we had a great year.
Yeah, I do
great
too.
Year. We started off with a really wonderful theme we should call the A to Z of apologetics.
That was fun one too. I couldn't get Z. We got X when we were guessing what they were going to be.
Right.
But couldn't get Z.
Well, I was striking up too until Trent Horn walked in my office and said, Zosimus.
Yeah.
I said,
did you
watch
make
your
that
language.
Up? Or? Yes, that was a fun one. Yeah,
that was a great one. And then in September, we had a themed issue for the early church of the Catholic Church to go along with our national conference.
Right.
And some fine articles there, too. So those were the highlights for me. But
how much response do you get from readers? Like, do they tell you when it's a good issue? Or do you just have to go, I'm really proud of that one?
We don't get nearly as much response as we used to, oddly enough. We used to get pages of letters to the editor. Now I think a lot of them are probably commenting on the forums. Probably should start trying to mine that for letters to the editor type stuff.
Yeah.
But no, we don't hear as much as I would like to hear.
I suspect that the whole phenomenon of letters to the editor has
gone the way of thank you notes.
Declined. Yeah.
Gone the way of print magazines.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, not Catholic Answers magazine.
No, not at all.
We are dedicated to print.
Yay.
You're going to have to help me with the clock, by the way. That's to Nick, so he can help me.
Yeah, we're both looking at you. What are you talking about?
But one thing I like about Catholic Answers Magazine, too, is kind of, I have to say, a little bit old-fashioned, very respectful way you respond to letters to the editor. It's kind of fun. That, like letters to the editor used to be, in most places, a kind of dialogue place where, you know, the person would write and they would be respectful or funny or whatever, you know, or sharp. And then the editor would respond. And you got a sense of a kind of an intellectual community that was engaged in something, not just like, meh, 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 I hate the Democrats or I hate the Republicans or that kind of stuff. I like that you do that. I like that it seems kind of old fashioned.
Yeah, I agree. And that's why I wish we had more of it.
Do you like writing the responses?
I like Jimmy writes them for me. No, I'm kidding.
I was going to say, dude, don't say that on the air.
No, it's a lot of fun, actually. I do. When I have to respond, I enjoy that very much.
And you're super supportive. Our board is supportive of the magazine. You sell a good number. It's hard to sell subscriptions to print stuff nowadays, but people support it by buying subscriptions.
Look, here's the thing, gentlemen and listeners. People share links all the time. People send me links in email or they'll text me something. And I don't know, 1 out of 1,000,000,000 times I actually look at the link. But when someone gives me a piece of paper, I typically read it. Yeah. So the thing about a print magazine or a book, which we're also big into here at Catholic Answers Books, it's something you can hand to someone else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or wrap in paper and hand to someone else. So that's what I like about it. You can give it to someone. It sits around your house. You take it with you on the train or to the beach or to the dentist office. Maybe you even leave it there and you do some evangelizing that way. You can't do those things with links same way.
It's hard to leave an e-magazine.
And there's something, as I say in an article I wrote for this 30th anniversary show, there's something, as an incarnational people, there's something about the physicality.
Of course.
I like that.
I think, important.
Right, physical objects matter.
Mm-hmm. Christopher Dawson makes this very point in an essay in his, it's the Bourgeois and the Catholic Mind or something like that. I'm not getting it right, but it's in Dynamics of World History. I recommend it. And he says, he draws the difference between the craftsman and the bourgeois. And he says, for the bourgeois, it doesn't really matter whether it's fine works of art or cheap ready-made suits. That person is just interested in making money in something. And what he's trading in, he doesn't really care. But the craftsman incarnates himself in his work. And that's exactly what's happening with a book or with a magazine as well. Because, as Tim says, it's an incarnational experience, incarne, right? In the flesh, you touch it with your hands, you smell it with your nose.
Yeah. And it smells good, too. It's a very good-smelling magazine.
It is.
I just wanted to let you know that.
Eats one before it goes out into
really?
The mail.
Do you really? You probably don't get enough compliments on the fine smell of that magazine.
I appreciate that.
The way we're going to do this today is I'm going to quiz you on the news of the year. It's weird when you get to the end of the year. I find this every year that you forgot certain stuff happened this year. Like, that happened this year? Really? You know, like, we're really good at the most recent stories. But so I'll throw some out to you and
Was I supposed to be paying attention this
year? No, I'm going to throw this off. Oh, yeah. Yes, you were supposed to pay attention this year.
Dang it. So I have a question. What if I forgot something on purpose? What if I deliberately forgot?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going to dredge some stuff up you don't want to remember. And then we did something special this year. And so we'll also sprinkle this in throughout the 2 hours.
That's exciting.
We asked our Radio Club members to rate things like the Catholic person of the year, Catholic story of the year, positive trend, negative trend of the year, those kind of things, the Catholic word or phrase of the year.
Wow.
Don't guess yet. I don't want you to guess yet. So we're going to – we have some actual data. Joie de vivre. Yes, that was one of the Catholic phrases of the year. So Chris, let me ask you this before we start digging into that, though, since I asked Tim about the magazine. How do you feel that Catholic Answers is an apostolate – did in 2019? How do you feel about our work? How do you feel about where we are?
I'm so pleased with my staff. I shouldn't say my staff. It's not really mine. It's the staff that God has given me to take care of. It's His staff, and He said, "Here, try to take care of this, Chris." we got a lot done in 2019. Stuff that is really bearing fruit, that bore fruit, came to fruition in 2019, that was work that had begun as far back as 2017, 2018. For example, Chris Costello, who's never been on this show, to my knowledge, and probably people listening here don't even know, but almost now 2 years ago or a year and a half ago, we brought in a new director of IT. And Chris, and we absolutely had to do this. Catholic Answers is an organization of 45 employees, about $8-9 million a year. That has a global reach. And our systems, our internal systems, whether it was general ledger or inventory or sales or how we keep track of our donors, all of these systems were in such need of updating. Some of the software we were using wasn't even supported anymore. Now, these things are expensive to do, Si, and God bless all the donors who really helped us bring our systems into the 21st century. But we couldn't have done it without Chris Costello. And I have to say something about Chris. He is an IT guy that I actually understand when he talks. So here I am, English major, right? And when he speaks to me, I understand exactly what it is he's saying. And this is a special gift. But he's also an IT guy who is totally calm all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know, the network could be down or whatever it is. This guy doesn't, there's no bead of sweat ever. And he has just brought our system. So by work that's been going on behind the scenes and similar work in marketing with Donna Barrick, similar, and John Sorensen overseeing operations and the way the departments are working together better than ever. So two things I'll highlight, though there are many. One is the whole complete overhaul of Catholic.com. And not only on the user experience, but on the back end, so that the search engine is much better, and the hand-in-hand cooperation with search engine optimization and our social media work now under the care of Thomas Graf. And then the other, and the Bible Navigator that is now part of the website. And then, of course, the other thing that we launched this fall, which has been a dream of this place for since before I came here, since well before I came here. I remember Carl Keating, one of the very first conversations I had with him, I said, well, okay, Carl, when I came in as the development director, I said, Carl, what are we raising money for here? And he said, well, I've always wanted to have a school of apologetics.
Yeah.
Right? And so now we do.
Right.
But what it took was mature IT, a mature video department under John Versillo, who's done a fantastic job, a press under Todd Aguiloro, IT, the apologists, so all these different departments of the building cooperating with other under the supervision of John Sorensen, like a well-oiled machine, like a combined arms exercise, as we would say in the Marine Corps. And now it's out. It's beautiful. The reviews are coming in. Go to schoolofapologetics.com to learn more about it. So I am so pleased. And then, of course, I'm just going to say, coming to this building is a joy, and it's a joy because everyone in this building loves Jesus Christ, and that's why he or she is here. And it's a privilege for me. I'm not worthy of it, but I'll take it because I love to come to work here.
So having done a review of kind of how things are going here at Catholic Answers, we're going to start digging into the news around the world in the year 2019, including surveys of our listeners who picked the Catholic Person of the Year, the Catholic Story of the Year, Positive Trend, Negative Trend of the Year, all of that coming up right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
The Aquinas Writing Advantage Program is part of Homeschool Connections' set of online courses for your Catholic homeschool. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
I'm really a revert. There are a lot of converts on Catholic radio, a lot of reverts, those who have come back to the faith. And ever since I came back to a practice of my faith, I started praying the rosary, going to even daily mass, God has led me on an amazing journey and used me in a lot of incredible ways that I never dreamed would have been possible.
Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, tonight, midnight Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Catholic Person of the Year, Catholic Story of the Year, Positive Trend, Negative Trend, all these things coming up over the course of these 2 hours as we review the year 2019 from a Catholic perspective here at Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host, joined in studio for this reflection on the year 2019 by Tim Ryland, the editor of Catholic Answers Magazine, and Chris Check, the president of Catholic Answers. Let me tell you a story, and I'm going to just ask you your honest response. Does this seem like it was more than a year ago? Like this happened way, way far ago. Like this happened.
Okay.
Yes.
But it seems to me like it wasn't this year. You get
the question you're asking seems like it was asked a long time ago.
Yeah, that was the worst phrasing of a question ever. So I've really got to stop drinking before these end of year shows. But okay. So, just kidding. By the way, EWGN, just kidding.
Could you pass that over here, Sean?
Okay, this happened in 2019 or before. there was a pro-life march in Washington, D.C. Some students from Covington, Kentucky, were there smirking at a Native American man in some superior... Oh, wait a second. That's not the story.
Gosh.
We totally besmirched the... Was that in this year or did it happen before this
year? I guess it was January of this year.
It was. It was January of this year. It seems like about 1,000 years
it does,
ago.
Doesn't it?
There are lawsuits progressing in that, but that tells you a lot about our moment.
We started with a bang, didn't we?
Alas, the Bishop of Lexington jumped the gun, I'm afraid.
A lot of people did.
On that.
Yeah, yeah. So if in case people don't remember that, there's these students who go to a pro-life rally. They're from a Catholic school. They go to a pro-life,
the Walk for Life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Walk for Life in Washington, D.C. They're perfect.
I thought it's called the March for Life.
The March for Life. Yeah, out here it's called the Walk for Life in California. Yeah.
In Washington, they march. Yeah. This is California.
Exactly.
We barely walk. Yeah, it should just be like the drive for life around here. The Uber for life, where everyone just takes an Uber. But what strikes me is that on so many different levels, there's this young people in favor of life and standing up for life. That's a wonderful story. Mm-hmm. There's the media totally misunderstanding this story based purely on images. And so our addiction to images is there. But there's also the hopeful side of it where actually the truth comes out in a moment. You know, all this damage gets done, but the truth does come out here. And so people are still, I imagine there are still people though who think that, you know, the young man from Covington is blocking a noble Native American spiritual leader, not a guy who got in his face and banged a drum, you know.
Well, that's the big lie.
Yeah, you know, right. So people believe the lie, but I do think the truth was out.
There's something in our age now, Cy, and it's exacerbated and may even be caused by the systems of modern communication technology, where we tend to react to things immediately. In fact, we do this very, very much. So, and this affects the Catholic world, and I gather we'll probably come to this at some point in the course of our conversation. But we see an image, and we feel the need to do a write back in the comm box or something like that. I don't know exactly why. I guess maybe it's salubrious for people that they're blowing off some steam or whatever it is. But almost. More times than not, they're commenting on something that they don't have the story. Now, this is where, now it's one thing when it's in a comm box, it's another when someone who's paid to be a journalist, and a journalist is supposed to report the news, and I mean, every journalist is biased, every historian is biased, but when they don't even take the time to interview the other side or to ask questions or something, but then this has automatically come up, then you know, really, they're not journalists, they're activists. They're like this fellow who was beating on the drum, what turns out was a, you know, professional agitator.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right.
So, and that is, I think, come into focus in the last few years, but especially in the last year, there's very, very little. It's hard to find honest journalism. I mean, I used to say something like, you know, oh, that guy's a leftist or something like that, but he's an honest one or something like that. Or he's right wing, but he's honest or whatever. But now it's partisan isn't even the word. It's everyone is so doctrinaire and it's hard for the truth to come out.
It sure is. It sure is. But one person's picked this as we're into the inspiring story of the year, by the way. That's where we're going to start.
Okay.
And one person picked that for the inspiring story of the year. And I was thinking about why did this person pick it for the inspiring story of the year? And I think it is inspiring in the sense that these young men behaved well, that they were there for standing up for life. These are young people standing up for life. And a larger community of people who isn't just addicted to images and resentments stood up for them and said, yeah, this is not right the way these young men were treated. This is wrong. Like the truth came. So I do think it has inspiring elements to it.
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree. There is a kind of tyranny of the mob, though, and the mob is online now.
That's right. That's a definite negative. And it's one that we just live with.
Typically, the damage is done, and so that even by the time the truth has come out, the real wounds are present.
Yeah,
and
right.
Yeah, and they're not going to go away.
I was going to say, ask Nick Sandman if that's an inspiring story. That poor kid has suffered
a
lot.
Right.
And probably continues to do so.
Right. And there are lawsuits being pursued in federal courts about libel.
Right.
Libel or slander. I can't remember which one of those two, but or maybe both. Even big news organizations like the Washington Post, where the case was thrown out and then the judge looked at some more evidence and said, no, I'm not throwing this out. This is a real case of slander, or at least has the potential. So the case can be heard. And I don't know what else you can do. I do think people need to be held to account when they just openly attack, you know, a 17-year-old kid who is not a public figure. Just go after this kid like he's the image of, I don't know what, white supremacy and hatred. And that there do have to be consequences for that. And we have to keep pursuing the consequences for that. As far as other inspiring stories of the year, I have to say this was the least unified. Mm. Some people were even like, why are you even asking? Like, they were not inspired at all this year. They're like, I don't like this question.
I was just going to say, Si, the kid was singled out because he was wearing a Make America Great Again
hat. Oh, I forgot about that part of the story.
The news media, which despises the I would say the mainstream media, which despises the president. There are reservations I have about our president as well, but nonetheless, they're going to, what they are looking for is a news story that they can bring back to, this is the effect of the Trump presidency.
Right.
Everyone is a racist now or whatever the case whatever the argument is. And that's why probably if the kid hadn't been wearing that MAGA hat, then it wouldn't have been a news story.
There was a time, though, in American journalism, and you should speak, but where an editor would insist on more evidence. Your editor is supposed to be kind of your enemy in a way
of course.
A reporter. Your editor is supposed to say, no, I'm not running that story until you give me something more.
Until you talk to
the kid. What happened to editors in American newsrooms? They're gone.
Yeah.
No one's editing anybody. No one's saying, stop. That is not ready for news.
Well, I know that that's literally true, at least on the newspaper where I worked in the cutbacks in 2008 when everything crashed and we were laying people off. One of the things that happened was reporters were posting straight to the web. They cut the middle management, and I was part of this. They cut the middle management out. They cut the editors out because the people who are reporting are actually the ones that are most necessary.
And I think that happened in the case of this story, that reporters started tweeting it, and then the tweet becomes viral, and the viral tweet becomes the story, and now we've lost all sense of perspective. And, there's a guy that lives down my street at the end of the street, and I've lived in my house probably 20-something years. For the entire time I've lived there, he's had a car that has a bumper sticker that says, I don't believe the liberal media.
Which ahead of the curve.
Yeah, and I'm like, it's not just liberal. I could take out it's insanity. You don't believe them because no one is telling them stop it. This is not news. This is a lot of speculation. This is a lot of imagery, but this is not news. You know, go find me a news story.
Right.
All right, so we're in the middle of, which doesn't sound like it, but we're in the middle of the year's most inspiring stories as picked by our members of our radio club. We asked them to respond to a survey and they did. Here's a couple more that were inspiring I want to throw at you. But as I said, this was the most scattered one. People either didn't know how to answer this or had found inspiration in a variety of places. So Bishop Sheen... a miracle in favor of Bishop Sheen, or just the general story of Bishop Sheen's canonization moving forward. A lot of people found that inspiring. Well, then we had a problem there at the end of the year.
I'm frustrated with how long it's and then there was the quarrel between New York and Peoria. Which was a little dissatisfying,
yes.
I'm afraid.
Yeah, but I think that's probably why people find it inspiring is then Jesus does a miracle. It's like, meh, okay. So, you can do what you want with all your pettiness and stuff, but here's a miracle in favor of my man.
And now, Si, you have the details here, so correct me where I misstep. But now the thing is in a holding pattern again because of the current status of the Diocese of Buffalo.
Yeah, right. But and all of that has to do with an excess of caution. And I have to say, personally, I do have a dog in this fight. I do not get at all frustrated when canonization causes are delayed. I think most of them should be delayed.
Yeah.
I think the idea of fast-tracking these things is a terrible idea. I guess we'll come back on the other side. But, you know, Father Junipero Serra just made a saint this decade, right?
Joan of Arc.
Yeah,
not until the
it's okay to wait.
19 teens or something. Yeah,
right. All right, more inspiring stories, and all, and we continue our review of the year with help from our respondents from our radio club here at Catholic Answers Live. Right after this.
Everybody's favorite Catholic outer space delivery pilots return for their greatest adventure yet in the brand new graphic novel Weapons of War. Fresh from saving the solar system in The Truth Is Out There and saving the timeline of salvation history in The Big Picture, Brendan and Irk land in a magnificent domed city on Mars for what is supposed to be a simple shuttle job. But soon they find themselves caught up in a sinister assault on faith and freedom. Will Mars be lost to the enemy? Brendan and Irk's only hope for the flight is in the power of God's sacramental gifts. A totally new kind of Catholic resource for apologetics and evangelization, The Truth Is Out There series combines the visual excitement and quirky humor of graphic novels with solid popular philosophy and theology. The result is a series in which everyone from teens to adults can find accessible answers to questions about God, the soul, true happiness, and much more. Order your copy of Weapons of War today by calling 844-239-4952, by visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
If you're a Catholic who sometimes gets intimidated by the Bible, Jimmy Akin's The Bible is a Catholic Book will help you better understand and take pride in this gift that God gave the world through the Church. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Catholics are the original Bible Christians. Order your copy of The Bible is a Catholic Book today by calling 844-239-4952, by visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We're doing our year in review today, which is always a lot of fun. Tim Ryland, the editor of Catholic Answers Magazine here, and Chris Check, the president of Catholic Answers, also here as we review. And we have the assistance of our radio club members who answered a survey this year. The survey is completely 100% unscientific. I want you to know that. It has no margin of error. It's just we asked them to tell us, you know, what stories did you find inspiring this year? Who did you pick for a Catholic person of the year? We didn't even give choices. We just left all the questions open-ended, and we took what we got. Shortly, you will see that there are some stories that made a very big impact on, at least on Radio Club members this year. But the most diffuse answers, you know, people just picked all kinds of different things. Like someone picked President Trump's speech at the UN about religious liberty as the most inspiring story of the year. Well, that's just one person found that very, very inspiring. Someone else that the largest Catholic church in California is being built right now in Visalia. Like, we're okay, so that is inspiring. But you can see how these, it was hard to get a kind of a unity on things. I do want to point out to some that I found interesting, though. One person put the persistence of the Catholic Church in China. That's just one person found that inspiring. But I really agree with that person. And I also like a story like that because it's possible to have the American perspective and never look up at what world trends are and that kind of thing. Because in the United States, media really reports almost nothing about places like India and China. They report about how those impact on the United States, like tariffs and that kind of thing, but not about actual life in those places. And it is inspiring, despite the evil communist dictators who run China, And maybe because of them, sometimes oppression actually helps the spread of the gospel, that the gospel is succeeding in China. It's growing.
The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the faith.
Right. And this colonialist imposition of communism on China is going to fall eventually. And then something really Asian, like Christianity that comes from Asia, will replace it. And the Chinese liars, the communist liars, like to reverse history and say, it's Christianity that's the colonizer. It's us communists that are setting you free. Well, no, communism is a 19th century European idea that is being imposed on the Chinese people when almost everybody else has gotten over it, you know, except for some voters in Vermont and the Chinese, you know.
Massachusetts.
And Venezuela.
California.
Yeah. So I like this. That this person, our radio club listeners are great. And this is a little bit out of the box thinking. Like, I'm inspired by the fact that the gospel is growing in China. I love it.
I am too.
Are you? Do you care about
that? That was me, actually.
I think your point, Cy, about Americans having distorted sense of the world that is Amerocentric.
Yeah.
And actually, that is fed by, I would say, most, I know this is not a thing that you're allowed to say anymore, first world nations, they tend to report on America. I mean,
oh, I know.
For example, if you listen to the BBC, a lot of their news is about America.
Which surprises me.
Much more accurate than the American press.
Like, you go to Australia and they know who Nancy Pelosi is and they know who the other politicians are. And you're like, why do you know this? Like, this is.
Oh, and why do you care?
Yeah, like, because yes. They watch CNN and the BBC and it's all reported there.
Yeah.
Okay, so a couple other international ones. Another person said the spread of Catholicism in Africa. They find inspiring. I do too. Africa is the fastest growing population on earth, and it's also the fastest Christianizing population.
It has been for a generation at least. We're mission territory for the priests in Africa.
And the thing is, the Africans are sending us really good missionaries. Yeah. I mean, like when you think of a guy like Cardinal Sarah. That this is Africans are. Bumping up the intellectual life of the church, I think, because the intellectual life of the church is rooted in sanctity. You can't separate those two things. And so you have people really practicing holiness in their schools and their parishes and whatnot. And then you get these people like Cardinal Sarah, who are towering intellects that are in a sense kind of prophetic. He's not a perfect guy. I'm not trying to sell him as a perfect guy, but I do think that the relationship between a healthy Catholic intellectual life and sanctity is a real relationship, and Africa is showing the way on that. That's why America is failing intellectually in Catholicism, and Africa is succeeding.
His book on silence is excellent, and it should be required reading for everybody who's afflicted with Catholics, especially who are afflicted with too much time online. And also, he's to be commended for calling for a return to the priest facing God when he offers the holy sacrifice of the Mass, what we call ad orientem, and may that take off. I know it has, for example, in the Diocese of Lincoln, Nebraska, the priests say Mass ad orientem.
Right, and it's such an obvious beauty, I think. It has such obvious beauty that it's really, we're still not recovered from the liturgy wars of the 70s and 80s, but really the 70s was the high point of the bitter liturgy wars, and we don't take a breath and go, okay, let's just do what's beautiful. Let's do what you know, we still kind of go, oh, what are you, a pre-Vatican II? You want the priest to turn his back on it? Yeah, that's not what Chaldean priests are doing when they do that. That's not what has happened in the tradition of the church. And it's just beautiful, and it's okay. It's not a reactionary right-wing thing. It's just beauty. That's what it is.
And by the way, the Novus Ordo, which turned 50 in 2019, That sort of came and went from people. Nothing was said about
it. Which has so many good things about it, too. Like, we should never deny that the Mass in the language of the people, as Tim Staples never tires of saying, was welcomed joyfully everywhere in the world. There was nowhere that rejected it. Everybody wanted it. So we should admit that there are many, many good things that have come out of it.
And it can be said in Latin, by the way.
Yeah, right. You can,
and well, it can also be said ad orientem.
Yeah. And our most recent two popes have been very accommodating in that regard, Pope Francis and Pope Benedict. I don't know why Pope John Paul was a little bit slow in that, but maybe because he knew we needed to recover from the liturgy wars of the 70s as well. One other international story that people found inspiring, the response of Sri Lankan Catholics to the Easter bombings in their parishes. Again, it seems so long ago. Like to me, I don't know. But that's just this Easter, this last Easter. I believe it was Muslim militants, am I saying that correctly? Jihadis decided they would blow up people at Easter Mass. And the Sri Lankans responded with incredible love and dignity.
Yeah, this is another one of those occasions where, of course, this is great news, and it is inspiring. It also is a reminder that there is a divide between Islam and Christianity, and it's one that Christians, I think, need to be more honest about.
Everybody needs to be more honest. I agree with you, though. Yeah, you need to stop being kind of
right. When we hear
lazy
when we
that.
Hear about a bombing, we have sort of a cynical joke in our household, and we say, "Oh, it must have been those Methodists."
Yeah, yeah. Those crazy Methodists. Again, yeah, those Quakers
again.
Out there.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And then I think there's a secular desire to, because modern secularism is in its nature anti-Christian, like real hardcore secularism. It wants to tell a lie about the relationship between Islam and Christianity historically.
And so whatever forms that anti-Christianity takes,
they'll
side with, even though should Islam, for example, obtain some level of political control, for example, here in the United States, that'd be the end of the 19th Amendment, for example. That's the one that says women can vote.
I cannot keep track of my amendments. Yeah. I thought it was prohibition. I was like, wait a second.
Wait,
No.
Yeah, I think, right?
Yeah.
Suffrage, female suffrage. Yeah, just
right.
As an example.
Right. Right. And all right. So, but it is, again, here's Catholics around the world, you know, walking into churches and getting blown up. The year before it happened, maybe it was 2 years before. I'm not good with time, but the Coptic Christians, the same thing, blown up on Palm Sunday. It goes on and on and on. It's been going on for a very long time. But the response of the folks is what the person found, the Sri Lankan Catholic folks, is what the person found inspiring. I know you joke about not paying attention, but I remember this very vividly. But if you said to me, what are the big Catholic stories of the year? I would not have remembered that my brother and sister Catholics were blown up on Easter Sunday in Sri Lanka. It would have... I don't know. Maybe a year is too long for old people.
Well, I'm afraid it just takes on a critical mass. We don't hear about it, but it happens literally every week in the Middle East.
Yeah,
and we're just weary of it, or the media certainly doesn't cover it. But Christians are being killed by the Islamic state or
in
the
my
terrorists.
Heart, when you say that, it makes me feel guilty. I actually feel a sense of guilt and shame that I don't do more about that. That my brother and sister Catholic maybe what can you do? I mean, I suppose there's some of that, but
well, Si, one of the things Catholic Answers does is call people's attention to this truth, to this reality.
Yeah, fair enough.
So I think you're doing a great deal.
Another person found inspiring the response to the Notre Dame fire, or Notre Dame fire. Sorry, Chris.
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame. Notre Dame. I don't know what exactly they're referring to, but there was some inspiring stuff there.
Yeah, my guess was something like the hymn, the singing of hymns as it burned. I mean, people were gathering to watch and spontaneously were singing
the Salve Regina.
Yeah,
and you're like, what?
Right.
They still remember it.
Right.
There is an element of faith, of strong faith in France. It finds its expression in the Chartres pilgrimage every year, the traditional communities that walk from Paris to Chartres, and Fontainebleau, for example, the abbey there, and Les Barreaux, and then the region still in the Vendée, in northwestern France, that are still quite devout. And then, of course, there are parts of Paris where Saint-Denis is the oldest Gothic church in the world, 11th century, completely overrun with Islam. You don't go there at night. for example, where in the crypt, where in the crypt are buried the crowns of France.
Do you think that stirs something of the Catholic, of a Catholic memory in France?
I think there's a cultural memory of Catholicism, almost like cultural Judaism among some American Jews, for example, whether they actually believe or not. But they understand that it's so, there's no way to separate Catholicism or Christianity from the eldest daughter of the church. And then, of course, Our Lady has appeared, as Father Hugh likes to point out. Our Lady has appeared in France more places than anywhere else, and French is her favorite language. So I don't know. I mean, I pray for the people of France, but then you see the demographic data, and Europe is contracepting itself out of existence. I know we're supposed to be.
But in France, they're starting to have families again. There are people who are starting to have families.
Yeah, but
again.
Muslims.
Yeah. No.
But
there's many, many French Catholics, and I say many, many, not a large percentage, but mm-hmm. there are a good number of Catholic families taking it. When you ask people from France about this, like priests and whatnot, say, "Hey, how's it going there?" Well, they say, "You know, it's not all bad news. We see big families in our churches."
I like to call people's attention to our friend Bishop Dominique Ray of Fréjus-Toulon. In the south of France there. He's brought the Latin Mass into his diocese. He has more vocations, more ordinations than the Archdiocese of Paris. So he's doing something right there.
I'm so tired of you picking on the Archdiocese of Paris, Chris. Leave him alone. We got the top two coming up, the top two inspiring stories of the year when we come back, and then we're going to move on to some other categories that our readers and our Radio Club members helped us kind of reflect on the year and remember some stuff that we forgot. And we got coming up the big reveal of the Catholic story of the year and the Catholic person of the year after this.
Hi, this is Trevor Williams from the Pittsburgh Pirates, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
How should we pray? The disciples asked our Lord that question, and he gave them the Our Father, or the Lord's Prayer. But he also gave them the liturgy, which is the most privileged form of prayer in the Catholic tradition, especially the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. We can pray with the whole church in the liturgy of the hours, or the Divine Office, and we should also pray in our own private room, our secret chamber, as Jesus says, and then our Father who sees us in secret will reward us.
It is not easy to do the most inspiring stories of the year with our kind of Debbie Downer guests that we have today, Tim Ryland,
the editor. You just haven't said what it is yet. So
Tim Ryland, the editor of Catholic Answers Magazine. Chris Check, the president of Catholic Answers Magazine. We asked our Radio Club members what the big stories are of the year, who the big Catholic person people of the year are, what the trends of the year are, all that. Right now, we're just covering most inspiring story of the year. Here's one notable answer that stands out to me, and then I'll do the top two, the two most inspiring stories of the year. This person wrote, "I don't watch the news."
Now I am inspired.
Yeah, that's inspiring.
So, yeah, right. There was a song that came out in 2019. It's Lucas Somebody and the Promise of the Real, I think. Anyway, it's called Turn Off the News and Build a Garden. I recommend this song to everyone. It's a great folk song.
And the practice. Turn off the news and build a garden.
Or go bake a pie, or go kiss your wife, or your husband, as the case may be.
I had to amalgamate some stuff in order to make the number two most inspiring story of the year, because they were expressed in different ways. But it all had to do with pro-life stuff. Some people saying pro-life activism is still strong. Some people saying there are more pro-life judges now in the political environment. Some people particularly mentioned the president and vice president as being pro-life. Several people mentioned Abby Johnson and the movie Unplanned. And so if I put them all together, people have a very positive feeling. They're inspired by the pro-life movement and what it's doing this year.
Certainly made big strides even on the state level. We're starting to move back towards states' rights, which is where it should have stayed in the first place in 1972.
And you see these states like I don't. Well, I was going to name some, but there's too many to name. Yeah. Really. I mean, there's a
mostly
whole
southern states.
Bunch of Midwestern states, north of the Midwest, and across the Midwest,
Indiana,
Ohio, Wisconsin,
Georgia,
lots of states. Passing pro-life laws, and
the fetal heartbeat one is a big one.
Yeah, and as a way of testing, I think.
Right, right. Because by the time you detect a heartbeat, I mean, many women don't know they're pregnant until that heartbeat is, and then.
Right, right.
The heartbeat is present typically by the time you know you're pregnant. I think that's the way I'm trying to say that.
Right. By the time you know you're pregnant, the baby's heart is already doing something, and it strikes me as. This is just one more. The pro-life movement has a whole bunch of strategies, and sometimes gets into really nasty internecine fights about strategy. But one of the overriding strategies, all the way back to the early 1970s, has been to humanize the child in the womb, to not allow the veil of the mother's body to actually come between people and compassion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. And Trent Horn does a great job of beating that drum.
Yeah, he does. What were you thinking of in particular? His book, or
just the way that he engages the pro, as he allows them to call themselves pro-choice people. You know, go ahead and see some of the vernacular or the vocabulary to them, but and keep them engaged and try to point these things out the humanity of
his TOT device, the take out a toddler device. Mm-hmm. So if someone says, "Well, if I have this child, then I will not be able to feed my other four." And Trent says, okay, well then, what if it's a toddler, right? So you just execute that toddler, right? So you can feed the other four, right? So that's a way of humanizing that baby.
Right, right.
Which after all is a human.
Which after all, yeah, right. But we do have to humanize humans. That's what one of the qualities of our own consciences.
There are grown humans that we do humanize.
We dehumanize constantly. Yes. Right, that's right. And we have to... keep expanding, I guess, the welcome mat to every member of the human. I mean, it used to be that you could, it was widely accepted that you could dehumanize others on the basis of race. Now that's accepted in many places, but it's not widely accepted. It's not the dominant view. And we need to get there with babies as well. They're people. Leave them alone. Stop attacking them.
This is something, Si, because the left or the atheist or the unbeliever will talk about human dignity or the dignity of the human person with no sense or recognition from where that dignity derives or from whom, rather. Yeah. That dignity derives from being made in the image and likeness of God.
Yeah, yeah, right. That language is so crippled. I guess that's why this is an inspiring story. Is that despite the damage to language about basic realities like human nature and basic religious realities like being made in the image and likeness of God, was it just attacked and assaulted and blurred by the media? People, young people especially, still get it. You shouldn't kill babies.
Yeah, but a lot of people still don't.
Yeah, that's true.
The Green Bay Packer Foundation wrote a check to Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin.
What do they think is happening at Planned Parenthood? Yeah, do they think is happening
who's doing the publicity work for the Packers in that regard for their foundation? Meanwhile, writing checks to Catholic churches all over Wisconsin, but also we're going to write a check to Planned Parenthood.
But on the other hand, the movie Unplanned, it actually did really well. You know, it's not the Avengers, but you know, most movies aren't the Avengers.
Thanks be to God. I know I just offended 3/4 of our listeners. I've had it with
in
the
my
whole,
mind. You're just disappearing into dust right
the
now.
Marvel,
you're just,
the
Thanos is just
the Marvel
turning you into what, dust.
It's Marvel, right?
It's the Marvel universe. Okay, yes, yeah. Right. All right.
Wouldn't know. Never seen him.
Well, God bless Abby Johnson.
God bless you, Tim Ryland.
Sorry.
Wouldn't know. Never seen him. What are you watching? Grown up movies?
Why are
you watching grown up movies? What kind of person does that?
There will be no more CGI. It will not be permitted.
Martin Scorsese used CGI this year. He literally harumphed me right there. That was a British harumph.
I think he's an overrated. He is an overrated director.
Okay, before we get into how overrated Scorsese is, and I'm kind of a Scorsese fan in some ways, but there are certainly very
it's
legitimate.
It's all fireworks and vulgarity. And
The Last Temptation of Christ is one of the dumbest movies ever made.
Say nothing of blasphemous.
Yeah, it's blasphemous and all that, but it's also one of the dumbest movies ever made. But I want to get to the number one most inspiring story, and
yes,
I have to
please.
Ask you to refrain from speaking about it, because unfortunately, this story is going to come up several more times. So don't just fire off all your guns now. Just hold back. Don't take the Steppenwolf move.
Explode
and fire
his face.
All of your guns at once. The number one inspiring story. Get ready for
oh
this. A guy threw the Pachamama into the Tiber. Come on, people. Our radio club people, the most inspiring story.
That was
to them,
the most votes.
Got the most votes was a guy threw the. And we're going to name the guy we're talking about, but I'm going to hold off on that story to the second hour.
It was the soundtrack. Come on.
There was
music,
a soundtrack to that?
The music. Didn't you hear the music? Oh, the fantastic, sort of ominous, driving music behind the whole the video came out. You didn't see it?
I actually never, you know what?
It's fantastic.
I'm so cheesy.
The
I hear these stories and I don't go watch the video. Like I'm not going to click on it on YouTube. So I don't actually probably know the whole story, but there was some good Darth Vader music or something while they threw.
Yes. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get back to Pachamama. You guys are going to have to wait on all your Pachamama comments, because the most important question that we asked I want you to have this in your mind. This is our own radio club members that we ask these questions to.
Okay.
And so the most important question we asked them, what was the Catholic media company or outlet of the year? These are Catholic answers. So you can see where I'm heading
with
this.
I'm afraid to hear.
Why did you put this question in the survey?
I thought this would be a fun little sidebar. Yeah, like this would be a fun little one.
Does this mean I had to say something nice about one of our colleagues in the vineyard?
Oh, yes. And some people who don't really like us that much got votes. But I'm not gonna mention all the outlets that got votes. But you would think.
Are they part of the outrage industry?
If you send a questionnaire to the Catholic Answers Radio Club, you might get some Catholic Answers is the best Catholic media outfit. Well, we did win.
Oh,
we did win, but it wasn't by any
means. It wasn't close.
We won the Electoral College.
Yeah, that's right. It was kind of an Electoral College win. We didn't win a plurality of our own radio club.
Who are some of the runners up?
All right, Word on Fire did really well.
I want to congratulate.
And they do great work.
I want to congratulate Bishop Barron for bringing out a print magazine this year.
God bless him. Yeah,
it's a little different from ours. It's sort of culturally focused. Mm-hmm. The font is too small, but mm-hmm. they're going to make it bigger. I understand.
I hope
so. I'm trying to remember the name of the magazine.
But
I highly recommend it.
Can I tell you the name of a really good magazine? Catholic Answers Magazine.
Yes.
I'll just throw that in. We're talking about magazines.
Word
on Fire. Yes, I agree with you people. Word on Fire just doing wonderful.
But they
wonderful
do a lot
work.
Of video work, but I'm really glad to see they're in print.
Below Word on Fire, but still getting votes. I feel like I have to mention this. Church Militant.
They do a lot of video work.
They do a lot of video work, and I'm sure they do a lot of very good work. They're just not always nice to us. And why would you Catholic Answers Radio Club people? Come on. So that got a few votes.
So are we supposed to comment here?
Yeah, go ahead.
The difficulty is that are they bringing people to Jesus Christ? That's my question for Church Militant. They're throwing a lot of red meat to their constituency in the outrage industry.
Yeah.
Much of what they say is true or maybe true.
Right.
The tone upsets people's peace. Our Lord says, I give you the peace that the world can neither give nor take away. So what is their relationship with that peace that the Lord gives? That's my question for Church Militant and everybody else in the outrage industry.
I didn't get to the top two, though, so that has to wait.
Oh, boy.
Over to the next hour. It has to wait to the next. Well, you know the top one is Catholic Answers, because I told you we won. But
yeah.
Number two, with a bullet, really big, really big. Like the others got votes, so I thought I should mention them, but really big. Number two, EWTN.
our dear friend.
That's good. We love EWTN.
Amen.
So we'll discuss EWTN and Catholic Answers when we come back. We're reviewing the year with some help from our friends at the Radio Club and from Tim Ryland, the publisher or the editor of the magazine, and Chris Check, president of Catholic Answers. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. More year in review right after this.